Good morning. How are you? What a beautiful and emotional song. Was that emotional for you? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you. Wow. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. So, yes, as Lee said, welcome to the third talk in our series on the way of love, the journey to the heart of relationship. And we have a theme song that Val sang so beautifully last week, and the first line is, on the way of love, you must be very alive. On the way of love, you must be very alive. And so I'm encouraging us this month to be alive to this path of love and relationship and just be with it and engage with it and think about it and think about your experiences and feel what you've been going through for a long time or where you are right now, because love is where we have come from. And love is where we're going, and love is why we're here, and love is what it's all about while we are here, because love is the final explanation of everything. And so if that's so, we may as well get into it, don't you think? We may as well get into it. And if we're not so thrilled with the way in which our experience of love and relationship has been, then it's up to us to be different, to be different, to be more love, and then to be more loving. And I've given you some practices over the last couple of weeks. First of all, to be love, to practice being love. And then also to, for those of you who are partnered or have, you know, a special relationship, actually this works for anybody in your life, to be willing to get down on your knees and say to your partner or your friend, how may I be more loving to you? How may I be more kind? And I got a report from the field last week. Someone shared he'd been estranged from his sister for about a year. And on the phone with her, he said not exactly those words, but something like, how may I be more loving to you? How may I be more kind? And the relationship is changing. And love is coming back. It was so beautiful as he was sharing it to me, with me. So beautiful. Last week, I encouraged you to start saying to yourself the things that you wish someone else would say to you. You are so beautiful. You are so whole and complete. You are precious. You are the best thing since sliced bread, and I love you completely. Whatever it is, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of that practice. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, especially going to sleep at night. It's a great thing to do. And I also encouraged you last week to be watching your reactions in in relationship and use them as a window into where you don't yet know your wholeness. I was thinking last night, I was reviewing the exercise, and I thought, wow, I haven't really had, I love how spirit works for me, I haven't really had a reaction to process this week, and within 5 minutes, something took place. That was a family situation. I was, boom, right back at my wounded self, and the deep breathing, and then moving back to the truth. So these are all powerful practices. So the talk for today is fantasy, and I love it that Lee said, oh, you should be saying, ooh, because actually by the end you may be saying, ugh. Because, and I have it on good report that there was lots of fantasy at the festival yesterday. So you know, when we talk about fantasy, we can be talking about what is creative and wonderful and all of that stuff, and we can let loose on that level, and I think it's wonderful. But I'm actually wanting to focus in today with you on the fantasy that doesn't work so well in relationship. That doesn't work so well in relationship. I will share with you, I can't share too much in detail because I must protect the innocent who I've enrolled in my life at different times in my life in the games I play and the healing that I've been doing. But I will share with you that I grew up sandwiched between the cartoons of Disney called Cinderella and Snow White, and all of the fantasies of the prince who would come one day and either wake me from my slumber or rehabilitate my situation and turn me into royalty, right? Sandwiched between that and my parents' relationship that was not pretty and that ended very early. And there's a great movie out right now called Beginners. Have any of you seen that? And you think that Beginner, it's a good movie. You think it's quirkier and more interesting than you might think. And you think that the story, the way the media is putting it out, that the story is about the Christopher Plummer character who comes out in his 70s. He's like 75 after his wife dies. But it's really about his son, Ewan McGregor, and the difficulties that he has in relationship. At least that's what I picked up on. And in the movie, I highly recommend it, in the movie, Ewan McGregor, the son, takes care of his father's dog. and the dog speaks to him, not out loud, but the little words come on the screen. It's very cute. And so when the son meets up with a woman, a relationship, the dog keeps saying, "Are we married yet?" And then when the relationship ends, although they get back together toward the end, I shouldn't tell you that, but anyway, when the relationship ends, the dog says, "We knew it wouldn't work out before we met her." And I would say that these are the poles of fantasy. The fantasy of what could be and the fantasy of what can never work. And that the reality of relationship is somewhere in the middle of that. In the middle of that. So I want to take us into the realm of deep story, which is also called fairy tale, but I don't mean anything superficial here. And there's a story called The Little Match Girl that I have had in my mind since I was a little girl. And it comes out of Grimm's fairy tales, but it's actually, or Hans Christian Andersen, but it's actually a very old story that appears in different cultures. And in this story, there is a little girl child who does not have a father or a mother, and she lives in a deep forest. That's a fairy tale sign. She lives in a deep forest at the edge of which is a village. And the little girl has realized that she can go into the village and buy matches for a half penny and then sell them for a penny, and she will be able to buy a crust of bread and sustain her life. So in the story, it's the deep... This is not a cheery story, by the way, so sorry. But the images will stick in your mind and be useful to you. So she goes into the village, buys the matches. It's the dead of winter. It's incredibly cold. She's begging people to buy her matches. They are not, so she sits down. And she says, "Well, at least I can warm myself." She has no kindling and no wood, but she begins to light the matches. And on the first match, she has a vision, and it's a vision of a beautiful, warm room with a gorgeous dark green ceramic stove with beautiful scroll work that's putting out lovely heat. And the minute she starts to move toward the heat, because she's very cold, the image disappears. So she lights the next match, and the image comes back, and it progresses. And so she keeps lighting matches, and as the vision expands, she sees a beautiful Christmas tree with thousands of lights, and then on the next match, the Christmas tree reaches up to the sky and the lights become the stars. And then on the next match, her grandmother shows up so kind and warm, and on the next match, her grandmother wraps her in her cloak, and she keeps lighting the matches to keep the image going at the same time that she's actually freezing on the street. And with the last match, she and her grandmother go up into the sky, and the little match girl is found the next morning still and gone. Okay, not a cheery story. But the thought for us is, how often do we strike the match of fantasy in relationship? How often do we get involved in something that we know really may not be the ultimate best for us, but we keep playing out the fantasy, hoping it will be better? Am I the only one who's done this? Now, we can play fantasy in all kinds of areas of our life. We know the proverbial person waiting for his ship to come in, you know, or the person who wants to win the lottery but never buys a ticket. And you'll have to think about your own fantasies, you know, and the ways in which that you have played this. But the idea, or one idea about this, is that we get involved in the fantasy, but we never take the action. So there can be people that have great fantasies about relationship, but they never have a relationship. They never, like, get in the pool and do the swimming. Or they link up in a relationship that they can see and know is not the best for them, but they go ahead and do it anyway. Now, on one hand, it's okay. No shame, no blame. And I'll tell you why, because all relationships are for learning. And by golly, we will learn. We will learn. And when we do the fantasy game and the fantasies don't play out, which eventually they will not, we will learn, and it's okay. This is how we learn. And often we engage in this way before we know anything. But sometimes that learning can be very, very painful. Sometimes that learning can be very, very painful. What makes this a really interesting spiritual topic for me, as well as a relationship topic, is that consciousness is one of the most precious gifts that we have. And that we are actually, this is something that Brian Swim, the philosopher scientist, said. He said that we are actually the place where creation stands up and says, I am. We are actually the place where creation becomes aware of itself. And we seek to know what created us. So this consciousness and self-consciousness and self-awareness is one of the most precious gifts that we can be given. And yet there are times when, and I think in the realm of relationship, but again, it could be in business, it could be any kind of place in life, we operate over what we see and what we know. We will see something, and we will know something, and we will have intuition, and we will have perception, but we will operate over it. And in that moment, we are selling off something incredibly precious for something lesser. The reality is, I remember doing a talk here in December about the 12th chakra. We probably have that many. The chakra at the top of the head. I'm not doing numbers this morning. And there is a continuous spiritual flow of energy through the top of your head and into your body in every single moment of every day. And that energy is the spiritual life force that comes into you and becomes the substance of your intuition and your perception, as well as going in and feeding all the rest of your body. One of the pillars of self-esteem is to know that you see what you see and you know what you know. In fact, say with me, I see what I see and I know what I know. To practice that, to practice knowing that you see what you see and you know what you know, and to back it up with action in your life, build your self-esteem. You feel better about yourself when you do that. To see something and know something and not back it up with action depletes self-esteem. We feel worse about ourselves when we do that. And so this is actually a really important spiritual issue of, will we acknowledge what we see and what we know, or will we not? Now, I will tell you, I have been the person who has linked up in relationship seeing what I see and knowing what I know and doing it anyway. And that's okay. I suppose eyes wide open is an okay thing. I'm not sure how open my eyes were. And I think when we get into that sort of thing, we either link up with the wrong situation, hoping it will be better. We get busy about what could be instead of what is. We don't take action to transform what is into what could be. We either bail on a relationship too fast because we're in the fantasy of, oh, this, no matter what it is, it will never work. Or we stay overlong in relationship thinking it's going to get better. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean. And all of this is not in alignment with the highest truth. And when we engage in this kind of thing, we make what fairy tale motifs call the poor bargain. The poor bargain. So I'll share with you from another story. The poor bargain happens when we sell off or trade off something precious for something lesser. And there's a great story called The Handless Maiden. I'm only going to talk about the setup of the story. And it begins that there is a miller whose mill has fallen into hard times. In fact, all he has is the mill and the huge grinding stone, and that's all he has. And he's setting off into the woods one day to cut dead wood, which he can sell. And an old man in a black coat emerges from the trees and says, "You don't need to torture yourself by cleaving wood. I will give you riches if you will give me what stands behind your mill." And the miller thinks about it for a moment and says, "Well, what stands behind my mill is a flowering apple tree. I can do without that." And so he makes the bargain. And all of a sudden, his wife comes running out of the house. And she says, "My dear," she said, "all of our furnishings have turned into velvet and finery. And the miller begins to tell her about the bargain that he just made, and the woman goes pale, and she says, oh, no, because what stands behind the mill, yes, is the flowering apple tree, but also our daughter, who is sweeping the ground with a willow broom. Okay. And the man, the black-coated man, had said he would come back in 3 years to collect, you know, the bargain, and he does, and that's where the story begins, which is a whole different thing. It's a story really about the deep initiation in a woman's psyche, but I think it works for men too. So you will tell me if it doesn't, I'm quite sure. So we tend to make a poor bargain in life when we're tired, when we have been working really hard to develop the self, to pursue the dream, you know, to go keep going for it over and over again, and it's difficult and we get tired. And in that moment, so very often, something can come along that offers an easy way, a way out of the work. Or we say, oh, I'm tired of waiting for the relationship. I'll go for this one. Whatever it might be, just so I have somebody, I'll go for this one. And in those moments, we sell off what we see and what we know for something lesser. And again, it's all for learning and understanding. But we can do things like marry for the wrong reason, or link up with someone for the wrong reason, or stop pursuing our dream in order to be a good partner or a good parent or a good child. Instead of going forward, we stay home and content ourselves with something lesser than what we are really truly to be involved in. I don't know what your experience may be, and I assure you this is not easy to talk about. How are you feeling? We stay safe instead of going forward for the dream that we want. And in that moment, we make a poor bargain. It's completely understandable. It's part of how we learn. It's part of how we learn, but we really do sell off something precious. And I would say that underneath all of that is a self that doesn't know its own wholeness. Underneath any kind of poor bargain we make is a self that doesn't know its own wholeness, that does not trust its highest dream, that is weary with the path and decides to settle. And you know what? That will just not get us where it is that we want to go. And yet, no shame, no blame. This is how we learn. So take a breath, because I'm going to switch gears. I believe that you carry in your heart a very deep and beautiful idea about love. Not just the love that you could have, but the love that you are. And I would say, and this is what our whole month is about, that we are here to fulfill that. Starting first with the love that we are, and then the love that we share, and the love that we generate. Notice that there's nothing in there yet about the other person. If you are in a partnership, I would encourage you to have a loving communication and share from your heart with your partner what is in your heart right now about love and about being love. Because you may not have done that for a long time. You may not have really gotten current with your partner in a long time at the deepest level. And maybe that will open up into a conversation about how may I be more loving to you, how may I be more kind. It might open up into a conversation for you of, here's what's in my heart, and I see how I'm not living this fully. This is not about taking your partner's inventory. It all starts within. I see how I'm not living this fully and completely, and I want to. How can I do that with you? It may open up into a discussion about what's currently not working so well. You know, these are tender, difficult, challenging moments in relationship, but how beautiful to meet in that field, you know, beyond right doing and wrongdoing, and just have the communication. I came across a quotation, from a woman named Nikki Giovanni. She says, "If now isn't a good time for the truth, I don't see when we'll get to it." If now isn't a good time for the truth, I really don't see when we'll get to it. Because there really is no other moment than the now. And for my fellow singles out there, if you are doing your best to be love, to be loving, to say to yourself the loving things that you would like someone else to say to you, to be working on your own wholeness so that you're living more out of your wholeness and less out of your woundedness on a day-to-day basis, if you are using your reactions to understand where you're not living out of the truth of your wholeness, I think we're on the right track. Because love is about being transformed by love into love. Remember, we said you have to have a realization before a revelation. We have to have a new realization about the power and the possibility of the love that we are, I think, before we have a revelation about the love that we can have, if it goes from being to having. So, I have two practices for you this week. First of all, I have three. I really encourage you to forgive everything that has gone before. Every single thing. Every single person. Every single event. Every way that you were skilled in relationship. Every way you were not skilled in relationship. Just let it be so. Because forgiveness is permission to move forward. Just let it be so. It was all to get you right here. To get you right here. I honor every single relationship and every person I have ever engaged with on any level because it got right here saying this amazing stuff to you because it feels amazing to me. I hope it's amazing for you. Forgive it all. Absolutely know and accept that you are healed on spirit, the level of spirit, mind, and body of everything that could ever keep you from manifesting the love that lives in your heart. Let that be so. Let it be done. Let today be a new day. Secondly, I really want to encourage you to see what you see and know what you know. This has been really important for me, by the way, on the path of leadership, because I spent a long time not trusting what I saw and not honoring what I knew. And it's been crucial for me, a really big step, to acknowledge what I see and to speak what I know, regardless of what the reaction is. Like, this is my truth right here, right now. I really encourage you to do that, particularly in the realm of relationship. See what you see and know what you know. Speak the truth. Have conversations. That's the first, second practice. And the third practice for this week is to start being what you want in relationship. Whatever it is, you know, that whole long list. Do you have your wish list, you know, about he or she and it and how it'll be? Start being it. You start being the relationship that you want to have. And see what happens and report to me next week. Okay, all right. So let's take a minute and close our eyes. Peggy, maybe you would go right into your song. We'll just end. Would that work for you? Okay. Ah, so let's take a nice deep breath and go within. And I know that just the grand intelligence that is God in us knows what to do with all that has been said. And anyway, we're just walking the path of love and trying to be alive to it, to see what we see and know what we know and be willing to look, to be willing to look and see what has worked and what hasn't. We all have our versions of fantasy. And I just invite you to engage with your own and, again, see what works for you and what does not. And bless yourself and bless anyone you have engaged with and let there be a profound forgiveness and permission to move forward into the now. Let us take a moment to feel that vast influx of energy from on high into the top of our heads. So just let that radiant light come down into you and let it begin to pool in your third eye center where you begin to see and know the truth. Let it come into your throat center where you speak that which you see and what you know. And let that light come into your heart and let it illuminate what you hold in your light, what you hold in your heart in the light that is the great possibility for love as your life. Not a fantasy, but the highest idea and the highest truth that you might live in this world as love, self-giving, expressing good, creating a wonderful life to be shared. So I am grateful for this time, for the presence and the consciousness and the willingness to engage and to walk this path of love in a very, very alive way. I know that we are being transformed. It is God's good idea that we be so, for we are here as the self-givingness of God to all of creation. I give thanks for this, and let us open our hearts to this beautiful song as love leads the way home.